We then covered some factors regarding the etiology or the cause of diabetes, including generally unrecognized insecticide exposure. The main types of pancreatic tissue were noted, as were their secretions and their importance. And the seriousness of poor control of diabetes, with its 17 times the risk of limb gangrene, and therefore chop chop in the surgery shop, was also described, and more importantly, how vital it was to prevent the need of amputation. The advantages of exercise, that horrible word, leading to the muscles taking up more glucose, was referred to, as was the need for the regularity of exercise for maintenance of those wonderful benefits you get from it. Vegetarianism was noted as being important in diabetics, as was the importance of cooking your carbohydrates less. The dangers of mashed potatoes and oatmeal were referred to, while whole wheat and brown rice were noted as being the best carbohydrates for the diabetic. It's rather interesting. White rice is so sticky that they've just recently discovered that the stickiness of white rice tends to pull the mucus off of stomach lining and also of the intestinal tract, making people far more susceptible to ulceration than they would be otherwise, or if they ate brown rice as they should eat, because all the vitamin B complex is on the surface of brown rice and is removed in the polishing process to make white rice. High fiber in the diet was noted to result in much better control, not only of diabetes, but also of the tendency of having much higher cholesterol as diabetics have. In general, diabetic treatment could be thought of under the following headings and notation. Number one, general detox, which can occur by eating beans, peas, lentils, apples, and applesauce. And of course, taking your CalMag and your halibut liver oil for vitamin D, which is the cheapest way of getting it. The next was liver detox, where dandelion and milk thistle are particularly effective in bringing the liver activity back to optimum for handling nutrition and so on. The next could be the correction of your low hydrochloride with zinc that is required for the production of carbonic anhydrase, an enzyme necessary for the production of hydrochloric acid, remembering that fish is one of the top sources of zinc. In place of that, for the fish haters, and I just had supper with one yesterday who had zinc deficiency syndromes in his young 30s, as I say, the replacement is the hydrochloric acid supplements, the thorn product called BioGest, which you stop if you get heartburn. The next could be the increasing your natural insulin sensitivity with exercise. The next important thing would be minimize your glycemic peaks, or the high blood sugar peaks. This is done by having a protein breakfast within 30 minutes of getting up in the morning, so that your body doesn't send a message to your liver that you haven't eaten breakfast yet, and would the liver provide this lazy bones breakfast, which it does, and you get, as a result, from the liver, 100% sugar breakfast. The next is utilizing garlic. This is, again, minimizing the glycemic peaks or the high blood sugar peaks, because garlic, as you remember, was an adaptogen, lowering the high peaks and raising the low ones. The next was ginseng ginkgo combination, which can do much of the same but can increase the circulation as well. The last one being a broad spectrum source of selenium E. And I might mention in that that it's been found recently in the Journal of American Dietetic Association, this is April of 2001, that even using the very poor synthetic vitamin E, most of which comes from terpal, which we make turpentine out of, that even that one, taken daily for 3 months, decreased what we call erythrocyte melandialdehyde level, which means it's a product of lipid peroxidation or oxidation of lipids, which is bad. It's almost like getting an internal radiation producing wrinkling and rapid aging. But the decrease of that stuff was 23%, even taking the poor synthetic vitamin E. And the increase of your red blood cell glutathione levels, which is a wonderful antioxidant, was 9%. So it tells us that although the synthetic, which incidentally will not provide the protection that the broad-spectrum selenium E will for your red blood cell membranes, it's still effective in improving some of the enzymes associated with those red blood cells. Remember, too, that selenium is synergistic, and they'd have gotten much better results had they put selenium with it. And lastly, there's that cinnamon powder at a level, quarter of a teaspoon for someone under about 140 pounds, 3/8 of a teaspoon if you're more, and roughly 140 pounds, 150 pounds, and not thrown in the back of your mouth with a spoon, dried, because we do want you to survive your diabetes rather than putting a fast end to yourself. Then the next thing is to minimize your antigen antibody damage utilizing food variation. And we will have a tape on that too in the future. But basically what this does and what I have done here is to take all meats, all fruits, all vegetables, all sweets, all fats, all nuts, even herb teas, and all grains, and put them in their phytological families so that you have four menus and you choose from menu one on day one, menu two on day two, menu three on day three, and so on. And then you go back, when you finish day four, you go back the fifth day to menu one. I've had people tell me, I can't eat all of that. And my answer to them is, do you eat everything on a menu when you go to a restaurant, or do you not select? So this is a wise selection that you're to do. Then the next factor in the treatment of diabetes is to decrease your acidemia. And you do that by making 60% of your food intake raw vegetables, well chewed. That would be a wonderful way of doing it. That works very effectively. The next thing is that tablespoon of beet juice, raw beet juice, twice a day. Then you choose, for the next item, low glycemic index foods. That means foods that will tend to stabilize your blood sugars. We found that was whole wheat, brown rice, using some fructose instead of glucose for cooking, and absolutely no raisins and grapes, and all fruit juices to be diluted 50-50 with water. Then we want to slow the energy uptake. In other words, we want to slow the rate at which your body takes its carbohydrates into the system. And you do that by, number one, making sure that you have a high fiber diet. That's beans, peas, and lentils. Number two, making sure you had high complex carbohydrates, especially beans, peas, and lentils. Number three, fat should be less than 25% of the total calories. Frankly, this speaker feels that that is too high and that you should never go higher than 20%. You will have enough fat for your hormones, as we say, realizing that all hormones in our body are fat-based and come basically from cholesterol. The next item is to decrease your glucose intolerance or your blood sugar intolerance. How do you do this? You, number one, increase chromium, and the type of chromium you need is what they call glucose tolerance factor chromium. Number two, you have an adequate copper intake, and it's rather high in almonds, as a matter of fact. So that is one thing that a person can eat with the skins, I might add. Or you can take copper citrate from thorn. Manganese is also required, and manganese, fortunately, is also very high in almonds. And finally, number four, in decreasing glucose intolerance, A plus zinc, because those two are synergistic. Now, I might mention here, and we mentioned before, that diabetics cannot handle beta carotene. You must have your A from a fish source, and you will get that from A plus zinc. Now, the next factor is to decrease your insulin resistance that's in the body. So you must have an adequate phosphorus, and here we say wheat bran, and there's another reason for whole wheat, and that's effective in it. So that's number one. Number two, if you have a high enough potassium, it'll decrease the resistance that your body puts up to insulin. And what's potassium high in? It's high in dulse, very high in kelp, in sunflower seeds, wheat germ, and almonds again. So you can see how we won't be upset if you're nibbling on almonds every other day or so. And the third one that decreases the resistance to insulin is pectin, which you get out of the white pulp of lemons and out of apples and applesauce. The next factor is reducing neuropathy. What is that? Neuro and pathy. Neuro is nerve, and the word path is from the Greek word meaning illness. So illness to the nerves. And this can cause and does cause quite marked pain in the feet and lower legs of diabetics. You must have an adequate pyridoxal 5-phosphate, that's the active form of vitamin B6, which you get again from thorn, and which you take at 1 tablet 3 times a day. Next is also a thorn product, which is number 2, vitamin B12. Which is found, fortunately, in a bottle with drops, which you keep in the fridge and which you shake well. And the average individual is home free at 3 to 4 drops a day, at least for 5 out of 7 days per week. You do not need to take needles for vitamin B12 anymore. It's been well established that under the tongue is as effective. Incidentally, sardines is a fair source for vitamin B12 as well. Also, in reducing this nerve pain that diabetics get as a result of chronic diabetes is inositol. Now, inositol is found high in lecithin, and get it in the capsule form, because if you get it in the molasses looking form, I haven't found out how you get it off the spoon. So you take lecithin for your inositol, but remember it's high in phosphorus, so you must increase your CalMag. The fourth factor in reducing nerve pain in diabetics is biotin, found fairly high in soya and, again, brown rice. No wonder the Chinese didn't get much diabetes with all the factors they were taking that helped to fight it. And the fifth is evening primrose oil or flaxseed oil. And certainly Gold Top in Western Canada is an excellent one because it's taken from certified organically grown flax grown in certified soil. It's an excellent product, and for the diabetic, they need at least 1.5 tablespoons twice a day of this product. Keep it in the fridge. Now, to decrease what I consider one of the greatest horrors, other than losing your leg, and I think even worse than that, is the retinopathy that blinds the diabetic. And it does it slowly so that you're not aware of it occurring. First of all, the utilization of bioflavonoids, such as in C+, or rose hips, or simply buying bioflavonoids. Hopefully, you're getting it when you buy it at a health food store. Definitely the A+ zinc again, which helps. As you know, vitamin A and zinc are good for preventing night blindness. It also helps to decrease your chances of retinopathy. Your CalMag at a minimum of 3 a day, more if you're constipated. Number 4 is animal-based enzymes. Fat plaques are high in lipoproteins, and animal-based enzymes containing lipase and some of the vegetable-based enzymes, which are also high in lipase, are excellent in this regard. Vitamin C, broad spectrum. The selenium E comes with a warning that it can reduce your blood sugars sufficiently so that if you're on insulin, you relatively get an overdose of insulin. And if that happens, you cut the insulin down, you don't cut the selenium E down. Incidentally, selenium E is also noted definitely to reduce the incidence of heart attacks. The next one, which decreases retinopathy and the threat of blinding in the diabetic, is vitamin B12 of thorns, as we've just mentioned shortly before. Now, to facilitate or make sure your glucose tolerance factor works well, the number one is niacinamide. Now, niacinamide is a calm-me-downer, and it works very well for people that tend to be on edge. And it's rather interesting, but it is a calm-me-downer for people who are on edge. As a matter of fact, so much so that it is contraindicated in anyone who tends to be depressed. What helps depressed people is the number two factor that also helps your body in handling the glucose tolerance factor, chromium, or glucose tolerance facilitates glucose tolerance factor anything, including chromium or whole wheat. And that is niacin. And niacin pulls people out of depressions, and it also facilitates your body's use of glucose tolerance factor, wherever it's found, particularly if it's mixed with chromium. And the third factor that facilitates glucose tolerance factor is brewer's yeast. Now, I might mention here, almost as a close, that recent research is being done on nasal insulin, where it's mixed with beta-glyceratinic acid, and that is from licorice. Now, just how effective that's going to be, I don't know. I do not like the thought of things being inhaled too much through the nose, since they can have some rather interesting effects. It can go instantly to the brain and can give you some trouble. And if it dries out the mucous membrane of the nasal passages, then you run into other problems. Finally, a long list of herbs was given showing the resultant progressive decrease in the amount of insulin required as I described on a graph, and I will not go over those a second time. We had mentioned biotin as being one of the factors in good B vitamins. It's rather an expensive product, but it is synergistic with insulin. It is found very high in brewer's yeast, also in wheat bran, range eggs, and walnuts in that order, but with brewer's yeast being at the top. And although diabetic biotin levels are usually high, it appears not to be available in these patients. And eating your raw vegetables and turning on your enzymes and so on will make it more available. We had noted that alfalfa lowers blood sugar as well. We'd noticed too that vanadium decreased blood sugar. And if adequate, the usual heart problems seen in diabetics tend not to be seen. And what is more important is that cataracts are much decreased. So what are your sources of vanadium? Well, they are, in order of their concentration, buckwheat, parsley, soya bean, eggs, and oats, raw sunflower seeds, and now I'm getting, which is equal to the same amount as found in corn. I might note here that the buckwheat in micrograms per 100 grams of edible portion comes out to 100, and by the time we get down to our sunflower seeds and corn, it's only 15. We should note here that if you're going to eat an awful lot of buckwheat, then you must know that vanadium is antagonistic to vitamin C, and vitamin C is antagonistic to vanadium. So if you're taking too much vitamin C, which is something over 5,000 milligrams a day, then your vanadium will be down. Okay? Now, if vanadium is way up because you're not taking any vanadium, then, of course, we have an increased incidence of manic depression. Most of your vanadium is found in your fat stores and in your serum fats, such as in your cholesterol and so on. We remember that taurine, which comes from beef heart, is an amino acid that acts similarly to insulin and should be taken irregularly at 50 milligrams daily, as noted earlier on. The fifth item here was broad spectrum vitamin C, which contains bioflavonoids, which protects your vessels. Warning, narrow spectrum ascorbic acid is oxidized in humans to produce two compounds. And we noted these compounds before as being A, dehydroascorbic acid, and B, dehydroisoascorbic acid, and both of them cause diabetes, and diabetics have an elevation of both. These two substances also break down capillary wall linings and may be partly responsible for the retinal bleeds that we have talked about that can be greatly helped by taking bioflavonoids. Ascorbic acid or vitamin C will lower cholesterol levels in 60% of diabetic cases by at least 40% on only 500 milligrams a day. But remember, you will get better improvement if you take a broad spectrum form of vitamin C. Sucrose was felt to be responsible for 10% of diabetes cases and leads to the terror in diabetes as far as this speaker is concerned, namely retinopathy. Even if the sugar is taken with a high fiber and low fat diet. Remember too that sorbitol tends to concentrate in the lens leading to cataracts and also in the back of the eye leading to retinopathy. So read your labels, and if it says sorbate or sorbitol, such as it's going to say, and on most of the cookies and so on, don't use it. It is dynamite for diabetics and you must avoid it. Remember too that people with retinopathy are usually found to be low in magnesium. But coming back to sorbitol, quercetin leads to a decrease of sorbitol accumulation in the lens if you've already not been reading your labels. And consequently, the onset of cataracts is delayed. And if you recall, we told you that quercetin came from the skins of washed apples. We told you how to do that. And also from the outer skin, outer edible portion of raw onions. That's the big onions, not the green onions. Okay? And remember that diabetes is the third leading cause of death from coma, stroke, etc. in some studies. Many studies, as we've said before, indicate that poorly controlled diabetes will shorten your life expectancy by 1/3. And then a lot of you out there that are diabetic that don't know it. Remember that your exercise must be regular to increase insulin binding and the ability of the muscles to take up blood sugar for energy. Good luck on treating this disease. Try to avoid those crutches and artificial legs, and avoid the welding of the back of your eyes, particularly by ensuring that your bioflavonoid intake is good and that you are not taking the cheapest ascorbic acid available from drugstores or health food stores when it is just nothing other than ascorbic acid. And we might mention too that lutein, which has been found quite possibly to decrease the risk of developing macular degeneration, that disease that afflicts 1 in 3 people over age 75 in our country, should be a factor in the diabetic diet. Foods rich or high in lutein include broccoli, Brussels sprouts, spinach, kale, and egg yolk. But try and get range eggs rather than the ones raised in cages where they never see the light. Hoping now that all diabetics will see a little more light as a result of this talk.